Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us today is Natalie du Toit, a South African swimmer who is best known for the numerous gold medals she won at the Paralympic Games, as well as the Commonwealth Games across different strokes and multiple distances, and winning more than 20 golds at significant global competitions between 2002 and 2012, when she retired from competitive swimming. Additionally, she became the first amputee ever to qualify for the Olympics, when she placed 16th in the 10-kilometer marathon swim. To mention a few of her awards, in 2009 she received the Order of Ikhamanga in gold for her exceptional achievements in swimming, a South African honor granted by the President of South Africa for achievement in arts, culture, literature, music, journalism, and sport. In 2010, she was named Laureus World Sportsperson of the Year with a Disability for breaking down the barriers between disabled and able-bodied sport. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Swimming is an individual and often very lonely sport that requires certain key elements in order to attain success. Elements such as sacrifice, perseverance, and single-minded focus. Can you please share with us a few of the landmarks in your career and when you understood that swimming was a big part of your destiny?
You know, it's quite an interesting story, and I think a very different one to what a lot of people expect or think. You know, swimming was one of those sports that I was open to as a child. I took part in many other sports at school as well. I did music as a subject, and I was just, you know, did anything and anything, everything that I possibly could. And I was 6 years old when I started swimming. I absolutely hated the water before that, and all my pictures of before 6 years old, I was in tears when anyone tried to put me in water. And I must admit, I got into the pool and I started swimming, and I think I loved it. I got in, and it was about trying to beat the person next to me in training. It was trying to be the best person that I could be. I think it was also something that I found quite easy to do, easy to achieve. And again, you know, from my first competition I swam, I came in the top three. I think I won an event. And then you want to swim another event.
So
and then you
gave
win that.
You more motivation with that win.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people think that you go into something with a goal or with a dream. Sometimes you just start something and you realize that, hey, you know, maybe I'm good at it. And the more you achieve, the more you want to achieve. And that's what's allowed me to achieve in life is, you know, you start something and you find something that challenges you. And it's the challenge to try and achieve that. And once you've achieved it, the next challenge is set for the next step. And I must admit, you know, I was 12 when I went on my first trip overseas. My parents couldn't actually afford it. So one of the girls in my team's parents offered to pay for half the ticket. My parents came up with the other half. And for pocket money, I walked down the main road in Cape Town for about a week. And I, with a little paragraph of who I was and why I was collecting money, managed to collect 1,000 rand in those days, which was 6 rand to the pound. And off I went to London. I was there to swim, so I couldn't do a lot of the things that everybody else did. So it was, you know, going to the Madame Tussauds and having a look at wax models. I couldn't do those. However, I was there to swim, and I managed to do exceptionally well. I won a couple of gold medals in the Victrix Adorum, and I came back to South Africa. And with that achievement, people had started speaking about who I am and a possibility that I could go to the Olympics or go to Commonwealth Games. However, to me, it was never about the Olympics. It was never about Commonwealth. It was about, let's see, when I was in 1998, if I qualified for Commonwealth. So it was Commonwealth Games, it was World Championships before you even get to think of Olympics. You know, that's your biggest goal and, you know, the achievement that you want to achieve in life.
So you were looking at things one step at a time in terms of the increments on the competition.
Absolutely. So yes, looking for, you know, taking one step at a time. However, the better you start doing and the more you start achieving, the higher the goals. So then the Olympics becomes a goal that you can actually reach, that is attainable. So I qualified for Commonwealth Games when I was 14 years old. So this is 2 years after my first international competition. It was the senior Commonwealth Games that was in Kuala Lumpur. And I had qualified sort of by a couple of split seconds, but I was 14 and it was my first international competition. And again, everybody said, but you're only 14. So it means that the Olympics is definitely going to be in your timeline. The next Commonwealth Games, the World Championships, you're going to be a world record holder. And, you know, did I think that? No, it was, I'm going to get into training. I'm going to see how hard I can work and, you know, what I'm going to achieve off the hard work that I've put into it. That Commonwealth Games that I went to in Kuala Lumpur when I was 14, actually missed the very first race, purely because I was warming up in the swimming pool, in the training pool, and my race had already started. A huge story was sort of spread about how I missed my race. I was with boys and I was busy in the bathroom. And it was purely spread because my coach was Hungarian and he'd said it was due to human error, but people picked it up as woman error. So that was where all the stories came from. And it was a huge blow. I swam extremely badly. Actually, in fact, I didn't even know if I could compete in the rest of the competition or not. Because if you miss your race, it's seen as though you're trying to put your competitors off, and the officials can actually stop you from competing.
So from a psychological point of view, it's psyching people out.
Absolutely. And it actually psyched me out extremely badly. I swam very badly that competition. I got to compete. I had to swim a relay for South Africa, and I just felt like I'd let the whole of South Africa down. You know, getting chosen, and this is my first tour that I've been paid for.
It's a lot of pressure on a 14-year-old.
It is, but to be there, I had to have that pressure. I had to be able to handle it. And that's something that I've always been open to, was if I want to achieve it, if I want to do it, I have to be on that level. And it came later on in life when I became disabled. It was, I want to swim able-bodied, so I have to try and do what all able-bodied people do to be able to be there. So that was really set back when I was 14 years old and went through a big dip. I came back to South Africa for about a year. I didn't know why I was swimming. I got into a pool again. I got back into training, but it wasn't about going to the Olympics. It was about, I just know that I need to put time in the swimming pool to be able to achieve something. My times went backwards. And after about a year, I started coming around and started enjoying what I was doing again. And for me, that was the most important thing in my career, was enjoying it and knowing that every day that I get to training, I might not want to go to training, but the minute I hit training, I want to be there. And I see the benefits from that. Yeah, so 16, I just missed out on the Olympics by 0.02 of a second. And again, another setback. But to come through that, so again, it took me about another year, and then had a motorbike accident. I was 17, beginning of the year, 26th of February 2001. And again, you know, I wanted to, will I be able to swim? Will I not be able to swim? You have people telling you you can, people telling you there's no ways that you'll ever be able to swim. And for me, I didn't know, but I was given the opportunity to get into a swimming pool and see if I could swim, see how fast I was. I started right from the bottom again. My times were extremely bad. But I put the time in, I put the effort in, and after a couple of months, I started winning competitions again. And the reality of the Olympics became, what would you call it? It started again. It was part of what I could achieve. So through all these setbacks, you know, you hear about achievements, but those achievements wouldn't be achievements without the setbacks. And without me going through those bad patches, those made me work extremely hard and they made me dream bigger. They made me, you know, realize that you're going to go through all these bad patches. And one day when you achieve that one good thing, it's sort of achieving absolutely tip of the iceberg.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Yvonne Chaka Chaka, the United Nations Goodwill Ambassador on Malaria in Africa. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31-meter band. Today, we're talking to renowned South African swimmer, Natalie du Toit. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter, @WomanityTalk. Now, picking up on our discussion, they say setbacks are character building. I think what you've said epitomizes it all. And with the setbacks that you encountered, the mindset that you had, the whole psychological focus, I think that your training with some of the most successful athletes in your field and competing at the forefront of international competition has given you unparalleled insight into what it takes to get to the top, and more importantly, how to stay there. Do you think that some of those same principles relate and apply to business and life in general?
For me, what it's about is being open to a step higher. You know, when I started swimming disabled sport, as an example, the disabled fraternity didn't think that, you know, as I'm disabled, I can only train for an hour. I can't push myself past that. Until the disabled started training with able-bodied and realizing that you can break a barrier. It's overcoming perceptions, and it's, you know, it's something that disabled sports has grown tremendously because, you know, since I've started, and purely because now we've been open to the able-bodied scene and we've seen what able-bodied people do out there. Similarly in life, to be open to, you know, the step higher, to be open to people that you can look up to, that you can aspire to, that have achieved things that you would never ever have dreamed of achieving. You know, I was a little girl and I was open to swimming, and I was just fortunate that my coach said, there's potential in you, you can do it. And with that, my dreams became reality, and that, you know, the dream got shifted from pillar to post in achieving the bigger dream of getting to the Olympic Games. So that's one thing that I believe in the most, is having your, we could call it, feelers out there, and being inspired by people, sometimes in a positive way, sometimes you see what they do and you say, I definitely do not want to be like that. That is the biggest inspiration that I've come across throughout my life. With that comes values. To live a value-driven life sometimes is very tough because people don't live by values. I'm inspired by many people in life. Value-driven life, very, very lonely. Very lonely life, but it's something that I believe in and something that I fight for on a daily basis. And I believe that that's part of who I am and what I'm going to be in the future. And sure, there's many lessons to learn and many lessons that swimming has taught me. But fundamentally, I think going through the challenges has taught me the most, in that within myself, I know that I take just over a year to come through anything that's extremely bad in my life. But I work at it. Every day I wake up and I say I have to be positive, and then I cry because I'm not positive, and I, you know, I don't like myself, and that's okay, because the next day I wake up and I say, okay, we're going to try and be positive today, and that one day comes when I actually turn around, and somehow it's easy to be positive, and it's just to go through step by step and turn around.
I think you've raised two really important points there. One, in terms of recognizing yourself, knowing yourself, knowing how to overcome whatever challenges you have, and understanding your own personal time frames. And then the second part, which I think is really important, that people don't often think about, when we associate with inspiration or we look at elements, we always think about from a positive point of view of what you want to become. But when you talk about the negative aspect of what you do not want to become, and I think that that's something which is often overlooked.
Well, I think, you know, touching on the second one first, I'm probably an example of the most negative and the most challenging situations turning into probably the most positive situation around, and that's achieving a goal that if I look back on my career, I actually can turn around and say there's nothing more that I want to or that I can possibly achieve in my sporting career, and that was why I walked away. You know, in life, you can always earn more money, you can always be in a higher position. I physically have nothing more to achieve.
And you've got to your target, and you've got to the highest pinnacle that there was.
Exactly, and that was Olympics, it was Paralympics, it was breaking world records, it was swimming, absolutely every single event in swimming. But that wasn't just all the story. It was the hours of work that I put in. I know physically my body cannot do more than 8 hours of training a day. Physically, there's no more, so I've done all of that. I've also given back to the sport, and that was important for me, to be able to pass on my knowledge and not necessarily become a coach, but knowledge of swimming. And swimming is one of those interesting sports in that for me, it was important to know every single day or every single minute, every single second in the swimming pool, how I feel. Am I pulling water? Am I pushing water? Am I feeling heavy? Am I feeling light? I made that a point to know that about myself. And that was, I think, how I see life is you've got to understand yourself. You've got to understand your goals, your dreams, and then move into a direction.
And when we hear about successful people, we seeing the end result, and we often think, wow, you know, that happened overnight. Here is this person, and look what they've achieved. But in reality, we're witnessing the end results of years of hard work and motivation and disciplined dedication that people have invested into their chosen path. But additionally, behind the scenes, there is usually a support structure backing the individual. What is your opinion on the role of support systems to contribute to success?
I would never be sitting here. I would never have achieved my dreams without my team. My team fought, you know, tooth and nail. And I say tooth and nail because we really worked as a team. Each one of us had our roles, be it carrying your leg from the start to the finish and making sure that was at the finish, so that me as the swimmer didn't have to worry if I would have a leg at the end or not. Because that hampers performance at the end of the day. You know, from managing your finances to managing, you know, where you're going to be at what particular time to managing my mind, because I am a very negative person. And if I go to training and I'm feeling very heavy, I'm hard on myself. And if it wasn't for the next person to say, it's okay, you know, you've still got 2 days before the race, what can we do to improve that? And with the ability to try and change what we're going through at that point in time, that allowed me to be a better swimmer and a better person. So without that team, I would never have achieved anything. You know, politics aside, you know, just to be the best individual that you can, unfortunately, you will never, ever be able to achieve anything on your own steam. And again, you know, they go through the bad patches with you. Your team goes through those bad. And it's important that they also feel what you're going through, because at the end of the day, that means that you are living the same path, that you're living the same dream, and you're working towards the same goal at the end of the day. So teamwork is extremely important. And sometimes it means just two of you. For me, it was myself, my family, my manager, her family, and my sponsors and people that believed in me. And I could probably count the amount of people on my two hands. Everybody else was probably against me. Public was extremely positive, you know, in the news, and, you know, South Africa was really behind me. But some of the people that really should have been weren't.
And that's another element when you're talking about you've got the team dynamic. So the people who are appointed and you're looking after, you know, people who are appointed and they're doing their specific role and task. But then you've got the public support. What was that dynamic like?
I was absolutely fortunate. You know, I after my accident in 2001, 2002, I qualified for the Commonwealth Games only for the disabled events. However, South Africa allowed me to swim the 800-meter freestyle able-bodied. Because I hadn't qualified, but because I was there, I was able to swim it. And eventually I made the final. I placed eighth, but I probably experienced the most amazing a lifetime experience, if I can call it that. And that is the Commonwealth Games took place in Manchester in 2002. And when I stood up on that block for the 800-meter freestyle, I've never heard a crowd as loud as I did in Manchester. And, you know, each one's name gets called out. And when my name was called out, the whole crowd cheered. While I was swimming, I could hear the crowd. And
what an emotional experience.
And that's amazing, because usually when you're racing overseas and you're racing against a British girl, you know that they're cheering for the British girl. But, you know, it cheers you on because people are cheering and you just pretend that they're cheering for you. But I was fortunate. So I didn't just have South African support, but I also had the rest of the world. And, you know, when social media started sort of coming to the front in the world, and that's only the last sort of 8 years of my career, people started tweeting about you, started, you know, messaging you on Facebook, emails. I mean, I think, Shane, my manager was doing a crazy amount of emails a day, you know, 200, 300 emails a day of people sending their regards, saying good luck, congratulations. And that's phenomenal. That support is unbelievable. For me, it was important to know that there were people like that, because that overrode the one person that was against you.
I think that's a wonderful sense of inspiration and understanding and getting that global support. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You're listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity, on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Today, we're talking to renowned South African swimmer, Nathi du Toit. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter, at Womanity Talk. Now, continuing with our discussion. Building female leadership is important for the future of women and to our country. How do you see female leadership in South Africa? And how can we build this capability and mentor our future women leaders?
Yeah, it's such a broad topic, and there's so many different, I think, takes out there in the world. But I like to see it as, you know, my sport was, it was very time orientated. So, you know, it wasn't about male or female, but it was about swimming for a specific time. And once you've got that time, you've qualified for a competition.
Time was the measure of success.
It was definitely the measure of success. You know, walking away, you realize that, you know, well, not walking away, but some of the girls that I used to swim against would just sort of stop swimming and they would go and study. Some would start families. Some would say, no, we want to be successful in the world. And that's when you start being open to females and the masculine and feminine part of life.
So swimming was almost like a microcosm within the environment, and these are all the external factors which were around but you weren't quite conscious of when you were involved in the sport because you were focused on the time factor.
Well, that was how I see it, and it was very important for me to focus strictly on swimming. I wanted to achieve everything by the age of 28, which I managed to do. So I didn't have no idea that the games would be in London, or, you know, if I would go to the Olympic Games or not. However, I wanted to end my career at the age of 28. So I was extremely focused on swimming, hence why I didn't have a social life. I struggled to study. I struggled to make friends. Actually, if I speak about friends, I probably have one or two really good friends in my life at the moment. And purely because I was so focused on swimming, and people are focused on their lives. And, you know, if you say no to the person who's been asking you to go to the movies for the past 6 weeks, they're going to stop. And that's unfortunately how life works. And it's become extremely competitive as well. So I've noticed that with all the youngsters, they're driving into sort of an older age group to have families, but they want to be more successful. Are you successful as a swimmer? You know, that's always a debate. You know, I've achieved everything, but at the same time, I've achieved nothing. So in life, I have to still learn social skills. I have to learn, I have to go and get a degree. So I've lived my life, I think, the opposite to a lot of people.
Now, not many people have opportunities to go through various careers. So you've had a swimming career, a very, very successful one.
Yes.
And now you're moving into the next phase. And in terms of the dynamic in the next phase, have you come across any gender-based issues that you've didn't experience within the swimming fraternity, but are now facing in the corporate world?
I think, you know, generally corporate world and generally people that I come across and, you know, that I'm open to. I actually have a lot of female, what would you call them, mentors that are actually extremely successful. And within that part of successful part of their life, they are trying to mentor other women to grow and to become stronger. And I think, you know, in the world, it's all about parity and about equality between male and female. But a lot of female, you know, out there don't think that they can. They don't have the, you know, they don't realize.
Self-doubt.
There's a lot of self-doubt.
Lack of self-confidence.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of talk of how women can bring in nurturing as well as the nature, to actually lead, where, you know, men don't really have that nurturing sort of, well, some do, what would you call it, effect of life. And I think I'm just fortunate that I have a lot of successful women within my little group. I'd like to see women come out more. And if I can, you know, in swimming, we say sort of have the guts to achieve it, to be confident in their actions, to set those goals, to set those dreams. Of course, you're going to come across many challenges along your way. But like in sport, we come across challenges. In life, you're going to come across them as well. But I definitely would love to see a lot more females in higher positions. And it's a challenge. But in life, there are so many challenges that we've got to face and we've got to grow.
You've mentioned the different challenges that you've encountered. But at the same time, because of the challenges that you've overcome, you are a source of inspiration to South Africa and around the world. And as such, you've also become a motivational speaker. Can you elaborate on this?
For me, it was important to share a story of success in a way that is real. I come from not a wealthy background. I don't come from, you know, everything being thrown at me. I've had to work extremely hard. I achieved my Olympic Games dream after 17 years. It took me 17 years of sacrifices. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I've ever learned, was that with every action, there's a reaction. I chose to be a swimmer, hence why I don't have social skills and I don't have many of the other skills, which I chose to learn later on in life. And it's been a very tough road the last 2 years of trying to make friends, trying to find a job. You know, those are challenges that each person, it will be different for each person, but it is a challenge that you have to get over, a hurdle. And with motivational speaking, my goal is to show people that through anything, anything is possible and everything is possible. You know, I don't just have the woman factor, but I also have the disability factor. And along with all of that, we try not to put ourselves in a box. However, we are put in a box. You know, when I started swimming disabled, or when I was disabled and I said I wanted to swim able-bodied, the disabled fraternity didn't want anything to do with me. And then because I was swimming disabled, the able-bodied fraternity didn't want anything to do with me. So I was an outcast.
So it's negotiating stereotypes.
Yes.
And negotiating perceptions and discrimination.
Exactly. And again, who am I? I'm me. I had a goal. I had a dream. I still have goals to be successful in a different career in the business side of things and use the lessons that I've learned to be successful. But I'm not disabled. I'm not able-bodied. I'm not just a swimmer. There's more to me, and that's what I chose.
You're a multidimensional person, as is everybody else, but what is refreshing is you already recognize that within yourself.
Yes.
In terms of the elements that you discuss from a motivational point of view, the values, what are your main themes, your topics that you talk about to give back as characteristics?
In life, I always believe that you will never be a success unless you remember where you come from. You remember the hard work that you put in, the teamwork, the no arrogance. You know, there's a few other tenacity, an important value to have. It's to go out there and to always remember them, that no matter how high up you are, you can be as successful as anyone. But you've always got to come down to earth. There will always be a bad patch. You will go through dips. You'll go through, you know, your bumps. But it's to remember that you've got to put in the hard work. You've got to put in the teamwork. And that's generally what I speak about. So no matter what level you're at, if you're a director or if you're a school child, you're either learning it from the bottom up or you're learning it from the top down. But you've always got to go back to those roots and those value systems. You know, you will never be a success without them. So definitely believe in those.
And they apply across every industry. It's not just necessarily on the level that a person is at in their career, but it's being able to reapply those values into whichever field that you're in.
Absolutely. You know, I come from the swimming background where people think that you have all the drive and you've worked hard and you know what it feels like and to achieve and you've got the you've got the willpower to want to achieve. You walk into a business industry or your personal life and you get knocked down and you've got to build yourself up and you get knocked down and you've got to build yourself up. And I don't think anything prepares you You just got to keep working at it and keep trying to find ways to get through things and to help and to get better. You know, motivational speaking, everybody says, yes, but, you know, it's easy for you to stand up. Every single time you stand up, you're nervous. Every single time I raced, I was extremely nervous. I found ways to overcome it. You know, I used to write on my knee or I used to write on my hand just to make me remember when I'm nervous. Because when I'm nervous, I switch off and I do stupid things, which I think a lot of people do.
So it's losing the focus.
Absolutely. So it's how you come through it is what's important.
I read that one of your coaches had given you a poem by Benjamin E. Mays, which says, "The tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goals. The tragedy of life lies in not having goals to reach for. It is not a disgrace not to reach for the stars, but it is a disgrace not to have the stars to reach for."
Absolutely. You know, and again, that saying I had for years, but it didn't make sense to me until the day that I needed it. It made sense. And each one of us is going to go through something different in their lives. And you might have a motivational speaker one day that you'll sit there and go, you know, this is really boring, or I'm really not interested in this topic. And one day you'll turn around and you'll actually realize that what you're going through, you needed that little bit of advice that was given to you in that motivational session. And again, sayings are important for me because they remind me of there is a will, there's a way, you can achieve anything. And not to be put in that box, you know, we think male, female, disabled, able-bodied, but who am I at the end of the day? I'm always searching for who I want to be, where I want to be. When I stopped swimming, everybody said, but what do you want to do? And I actually said, I have no idea. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what I could possibly be good at or what I would enjoy. Till that day I enjoy it or I know that that's what I want to do, I'm going to put my feelers out there and I'm going to keep trying. So that's what it's about. No matter what tragedy hits you, you get up and you move forward. Maybe in the same industry, maybe somewhere slightly different. But no matter, as I said, male, female, disabled, abled, you can do it no matter what.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy, a program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Today, we're talking to renowned South African swimmer, Natalie du Toit. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, picking up on our discussion, you have been a youth ambassador for the Independent Electoral Committee since 2008. The IEC stated that your contribution to motivating young South Africans to participate in electoral democracy processes had led to one of the highest voter registration drivers since 1999. Are there any other social projects that you're involved with or trying to raise awareness of?
Sure, I have my hand in a few things, and I'm still looking for that one charity that that would be mine and that I would focus on. I do have, the Labners have been extremely good to me. They've paid for me to go to the Olympic Games in Beijing, and they've sort of handled quite a few charities. So it's the Smile Foundation, it's the Sabrina Ocean Love Challenge. And, you know, so far in my career, the charities that I've supported are ones that, you know, it was easy to give back in swimming because I was a swimmer and I would swim Robben Island, the Sabrina Ocean Love Challenge. I would swim the event and the money would then go towards the charities. And for me, it's important to give back. It's important to show people that it's possible. Anything is possible, to give people opportunities. You know, as I said, I come from quite a poor background, but I was open to traveling overseas. I was open to successful people, successful women, successful, you know, anything. And because of that, I want to be successful. So to give anybody that opportunity, and that's where I try and help. And in my small way, be it for, you know, shaving someone's head during the cancer shave-a-thon, be it going to the little home in Ellis Park around that area and handing out blankets, be it, you know, speaking to a little child who's just lost their leg from a sarcoma. It's about imparting what's made me successful and made me who I am today. So that's what I like to try and give back to the communities out there and to everybody. And again, some people will accept it, some people don't. And it's just where you're sitting at that point in time of your life.
And giving back doesn't necessarily have to be a financial way. It's giving back on an emotional level, giving back through your wisdom and experience.
Each one of us has something special about us. And, you know, you might not have all the money in the world. However, someone might come into your life that you could just say one thing and it will mean the world to them in 2-3 years time, maybe at that exact moment. But it's to go out there. And for me, it's important to share who I am. And there's one piece of advice that was always given to me, and that was share your knowledge, because at the end of the day, you can only grow someone. In my swimming career, I knew that I would never always be the best, that someone is working harder, someone wants it more than I do. So hence why I had to try and keep reinventing myself and trying to do better, trying to add more hours, trying to be better in that way. But again, you're not always the best, and someone's going to want to beat you. And that's what life is about. But to share the knowledge of what you've gained. And I think it's something that I actually picked up from a lot of Europeans, is in our swimming world, each coach helped the next coach. And they all worked under one umbrella and one senior coach, no matter which area in Italy or which area in UK you came from. In South Africa, we very much self-orientated. So I want to be successful. I can't help you because I want to be successful. And that's not what it's about.
So you found that the South African experience has been more individualistic, whereas in the European fraternity, it was on a collective level.
On a collective level. That's what I've experienced. But again, it depends on what industry you're in and depends on what you're dealing with. But to share knowledge, because sharing knowledge is what makes the whole of Africa better. It's, you know, for women to mentor the next woman, it's going to grow women. It's obviously segmented, but it's important to share your knowledge.
I agree with you in totality on that point, on knowledge sharing and also knowledge gaining. Now we're coming to the end of the show. Can you please share a few words of inspiration that you would like to pass on to young girls listening to the show who live in Africa?
I think the most important lesson that I've ever learned was that you don't just achieve. Once you've achieved something, it's harder to come back and want to achieve something else. And it's tougher because people expect that level from you. And now you have to stay on that level, but also grow and also be better. And it's not to give up, because you're going to go through those challenging times. As I said, for 2 years, I looked for a job and people actually didn't turn me down, but nobody really gave me a chance. And everybody thought that I have everything, or that I've achieved all these awards and won all the money. And at the end of the day, I just wanted to grow in myself, and I wanted to start from the bottom and be a success in a few years' time. And you're going to hit those stages, and you're going to want to give up, and you're going to want to just walk away, but don't. It's important to keep fighting. And especially in Africa, you know, we're seen as sort of the third world to the rest of the world. Keep fighting, because at the end of the day, your skills could actually be on par with the Americans, with the British. Your skills can be there, and you just got to keep working at them. And it's also to, when you come across people in America or in Europe, don't think that you know less than them, because sometimes that's not what it's about. Sometimes it's just the perception. So perceptions are very, very important. And it's to be bold and to go in there with no arrogance, but be yourself and know the goals and know your dreams and fight for them no matter what.
Thank you for those important words of wisdom. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. And we have been talking to renowned South African swimmer, Natalie Du Toit.